podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
This morning, I had written out the sermon before my vacation, and obviously it's changed. And so that's why you have this beautiful paper that's got just blank lines for the notes for you to follow. And so I want to encourage you, there is a sermon outline, and you can fill in and write that as well. But the Lord really laid it on my heart, actually probably started last Sunday when we were in Tennessee and we were stranded, and some of the things that were taking place and some of the things that God was doing around us. So this morning, our text is found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. And we're going to read that here. And as we get there, this is the parable of the sower. So starting with verse 1, it says, "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear.'" God, thank you. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you that it is true, 100% true. Not parts of it, but in its entirety, God. So God, these next few moments as we look at this, and try to apply it to our lives, Father God, I pray that you soften our hearts and open our ears, Lord. Speak through me, speak in spite of me, God. Surround this room that nothing that would hinder or distract would be present, Father God. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. So, I grew up in Puerto Rico. If you don't know that about me, it's hard to tell because of my, you know, beautiful complexion. But I grew up in Puerto Rico. My parents were missionaries, and so for 18 years of my life, I grew up there. So for 18 years of my life, I never attempted to be a sower or a gardener or anything of that sort. And so looking back on it now as a 32-year-old, man, I missed out on some great year-round plant growing opportunities. But after moving here and hanging out with some of our members, and I decided to kind of take it on about 6 or 7 years ago, and I have tried to grow vegetables my life depended on it, and I've never had such great luck. And so this year, my neighbor, who's not here this morning, which is good because he scolded me. He built this wonderful area for us to do our gardening. And so for me, I stick to the really easy ones. So don't judge me. So like my tomatoes, my zucchini, my squash, you know the ones that grow even for, you know, me. And so I planted tomatoes, zucchini, squash, watermelon, cucumber, whatever, a bunch of things. But and as I planted them, and this has been what, 8 weeks now, 6 weeks. I knew there was going to be a sermon in these plants, and I didn't know what it was. And so I took all these pictures of my plants as they grew, like I was doing a science fair in middle school. And in my humility, I'm not even going to show you those pictures because they're sad. But that's not my tomatoes. Thank you, Google. Those are not my tomatoes. But I planted, we're going to talk about my tomatoes. I planted 12 tomato plants. And so 4 or 5 different varieties. And in planting them, I knew that not only was I going to enjoy these tomatoes and pick them with Riley and have a good time, but I knew there was something in these tomatoes. And as we look at the verse today, and we talk about the sower, you see that there are 4 different kinds of people. And so it's a parable. So he's referring to these seeds that are scattered among 4 different kind of planting areas. And so it's a parable, so we know that he's actually talking about people. And so we want to just take the first few moments and talk about those people. And so if you jump down to verse 19, Jesus explains the parable to the disciples a little more clearly. And so in verse 19, he says, When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So that's seed one. It's the one sown along the path. So these kind of people don't understand. So that first point for you is those that don't understand. And so what I want to try and illustrate for you is I planted 12 tomato plants, and I only have 9. I planted 12, but I only have 9 that came up. And so for whatever reason, I don't understand, 3 of them didn't come up. And I'm not blaming the actual seed that was planted. Don't hear that, because all the seeds were the same. I'm not blaming the seed, but they didn't come up. And so what I want you to understand is as people, there are people who do not understand the gospel. There are people in this world, and that might be hard for us who have grown up in the church or always been in the Bible Belt per se. There are people who do not get it. And so there are people who can sit in a service like this on a Sunday morning, or go to a weekend revival, or go to some great, you know, conference / concert. They can go on missions trips. They can have one-on-one encounters with a God-fearing person. They can be a part of a discipleship. They can be part of a small group. And they never truly understand the gospel. And so the way it works is that seed is planted, but it never takes root. It never grows. And so what Satan does is before it can take that root, in that confusion, he comes in and takes it away. So those people that never had an opportunity to really ask the hard questions and understand it miss out completely. The first kind of people are those that don't understand. If you look down at verse 20, it says, "The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away." So of my 12 plants that I planted, I have 9. One of them really early in June was looking really good. I was like, yes, I'm going to actually have some tomatoes. This is going to be great. A lot taller than all the others. Had the fence around it early. It was wonderful. And then, you know, that first July sun kind of came out. If you can remember, it was hot. Right about before I went to Tennessee, it was hot. And on that first day when it hit really hot temperatures, it scorched that plant. And it withered up and died. And so literally that's one of those 3 holes in my garden that there's nothing. And I want you to understand that there are a type of person just like that, and that is the person that's not rooted. So those that are not rooted is the second kind of people. And what do I mean by that? I've had the privilege of growing up in church and being in youth ministry and ministry really my whole life. And so I've seen it. I've actually experienced it where you go to, whether it be a Sunday service, a missions trip, a concert, a conference, and you get fired up. Whatever is preached, whatever is shared, whatever is said really sparks something within you and you are excited. You're ready to go out of these doors and share it with everyone and change the world and save the world for that matter. But nothing happens and hard times come. And I'll be the first to tell you, hard times are going to come. And when they come, you wither up, you give up, you fold, forget it. That is the person that's not rooted. And so if you're not rooted when those hard times come, you fold. I've been there. I mean, I can think of days in high school, I can think of days in college where after a missions trip or after a cross-culture experience, I was like, dude, when I get home, we're going to do things differently. It's going to be great. Woohoo! Yes, yes, yes! You know, you get home and something happens, you're like, you know, that's going to have to wait. And you miss that opportunity, and that's because I wasn't rooted. If you jump back to the verse, in verse 22 it says, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful." Back to my garden. I got home from Tennessee, and one of my beautiful tomato plants is literally getting, you know, wrapped by this terrible weed. I don't know the names of weeds, but this terrible weed that has really choked off one of the branches. And so ultimately, as the wonderful gardener that I am, being away from it for 6 days, I kind of come back and I pull that off, and ultimately it's killed the branch that was going off to the side. So I have to cut it to preserve the rest of the tomato. But it literally choked the life out of that one branch that I thought was going to be wonderful with those little cherry tomatoes that I, anyway, with those cherry tomatoes that are so good on a hot day. If you've never had it, come on over. I got like 100. There are people in this world who, the third kind of person would be those that are worried. There are people that are so worried about this world that even though they go to a church service or they go to a great revival or a concert or they go out of the country or they have a one-on-one experience where they get fired up and everything and they're ready and hey, maybe they're even rooted and they're reading the word and they're in a Bible study, the worries of this world consume them. So much so that they're unable to grow and produce the fruit that God's called them to. The worries of this world, financial worries, your job, your family, your home life, your car breaking down in Tennessee. These things, they worry us as people, and it's so much so that they distract us from what God is ultimately trying to do. The fourth kind of person, if you jump back to verse 23, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Fourth kind of person is those who truly get it. These are the people who, when they hear, they understand. When they get pumped, when they get excited, when the Lord speaks to them, they're rooted in the Word. These are also the kind of people that understand that this world is not our home, that we're just visiting. This is like a test run for eternity. And so they're not worried and they're not consumed by the issues and the worries of this world because they know that God is Jehovah Jireh and that He's going to provide. These are the people that a band back in, I think it was like late 80s, early 90s, called Jesus Freaks. These are the people that are so radically on fire for God that for those of us that have been lukewarm or casual Christians, we avoid them like the plague. Four kinds of people. The follow-up question for you, what kind of person are you? So based off of this verse, if we're only looking at this verse, We're telling you that there are four kinds of people. There are four. The ones that don't understand, the ones that aren't rooted, the ones that are worried, and the ones that truly get it. If there's only four, which one do you relate to the most? Think about it. I've got three questions for you. What does your lifestyle show? What does your lifestyle show? So let's kick it real old school. From the things you listen to in your earbuds or on your radio or at your TV at home, what does that say to the world? What does that say to people who don't understand the gospel? The way that we speak and the words that we use, the anger that we say them with, what does that say to the world? The way that we dress, the way that we act, what does that say to the world? The way that we carry ourselves at work and in our businesses, what does that say to the world? What does your lifestyle say? Think about it. Question two, when was the last time you shared your faith? When was the last time you shared your faith? Well, Daniel, I'm not a minister. I don't have to preach the gospel and lead. Okay, let's break it simple. When was the last time you showed Jesus in your life? When was the last time God spoke to you and said, buy that person a meal, and you bought it? When was the last time God said, that person right there can't pay for their groceries, you paid for them? When was the last time that someone came to the altar and you knew the Lord was tugging on your heart to go down and pray for them, so you went? When was the last time God spoke to you and you did whatever he was asking you to do? And we can break it down. When was the last time you shared your testimony? When was the last time you had the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord? Question number three, is God the center of everything? The center. So we're not just talking the center of your Sunday morning church service or your Sunday school or your time with the Lord, but the center of everything. Is God the center of everything in your life? 100%. The way you think, the way you act, what you're doing with your free time, where you're spending your money, is God at the center? Does he have control over everything? Well, Daniel, those are three questions that are really tough and really hard to answer. Why on earth would you ask those? Let me tell you, because I have struggled with them for a week now. For a week. Last Sunday, we were stranded in Tennessee. All the chaos, all the anger, let's call it, the frustration, the fact that it was hot, I had two crying babies, an autistic sister-in-law, I was stuck in the sun, totally lost track of what day it was, woke up Sunday morning, not even realizing it was Sunday, was on the phone with the rental car person, with the hotel people, with the warranty people, with everybody, left and right, had to go rent a car, had to do all this stuff, finally get to go out to eat with my family, and I am in basketball shorts, and I think it was a Futurama t-shirt, because that's all I had. Hey, you laugh, so you know what that is. Awesome. Not endorsing that. My PJs. If you don't know what that is, that's okay. God bless you. Really, no, God bless you. And literally, I'm in basketball shorts and a t-shirt, and we go to this restaurant only because it's across the street from the hotel. It's called Mellow Mushroom, which is a real chill place. Makes a lot of good pizza. But for me personally, I have always judged, to be honest with you, the people that work there. And this time, when I walked in, my waiter by the name of Josh had dreadlocks down to here. And, you know, he was like, hey, what's up? Welcome to Mellow Mushroom. I'm going to be your host. Can I recommend some cold brew? And I was like, wow, this guy's a pothead. Straight up pothead. Doesn't know where he's at. Awesome. At this point, I'm with my family, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and my father-in-law. And so if you know my father-in-law, we like to look at people and kind of figure out what instrument they play. And so we're literally sitting across, he's a drummer. And Ted goes, no, he plays bass. He comes back with our beverages. Well, hey man, what instrument do you play? Josh says, well, I play the bass. Ted's like, got it! And I'm like, yeah. And so Ted follows up with, well, what kind of music do you play? And with utter fear and embarrassment, this man says, I'm actually the bassist at my church. Oh. And literally he walked away and Teddy and I had this whole theological debate, which leads me to these three questions. Because here I am, God-fearing, minister by trait person. And whether it was the way I was speaking, the way we were acting, the clothing I was wearing, the fact that it was Sunday and I wasn't... This man was embarrassed that he was a part of his worship team. And was worried that we would judge him because he thought we had no relationship with God. He looked at us and said, okay, there goes my tip if I tell them I'm on a worship team. What does my lifestyle show? Why did I not sit down and while I prejudged this man, why did I not say, dude, if I'm right, I got to share who God is? Why didn't I not take that opportunity? Follow-up question is it because God is not at the center of everything? So I've wrestled with these three questions all week. Wrestled with them. And ultimately, we stuck around and Ted had a conversation with Josh and they exchanged music, bands, blah, blah, blah. But what does it say about Josh? that he was, I mean, I would say embarrassed or ashamed. I mean, he was so worried when you know, hey, yeah, man, welcome to Mellow Mushroom. Hey, what instrument do you play?
I play the bass in my church.
What does it say about Josh, who's in a worship team at a church right up the road, when he is embarrassed to say, hey, man, I'm the bassist of a worship team. Let me tell you about God. So what kind of person are you? What kind of people are we? What kind of church are we? Based off of this scripture, there's four options for us. We're either people who don't understand it, we don't get it, people that aren't rooted, people that are too worried with this world, or we get it, we really get it. I want you to really self-evaluate this morning. Because the reality is, outside of these doors, there are people who are hurting and who are empty and who are struggling and have no understanding of the Word and don't even know God the way you and I do. And so if we become so comfortable coming Sunday morning, and here's the flip side, let's be real. Man, I didn't go to church Sunday morning because I didn't have the right clothes. And I was embarrassed because I thought, dude, if I walk in basketball shorts, Crocs, and a Futurama shirt, that was my train of thought. And so it's like, wow, where have I gone that the fact of what I wear matters to me more than being in the presence of the Lord on a Sunday morning? Think about it. There's four kinds of people. Those that don't understand, those that aren't rooted, those that are worried, and those that truly get it. Which one do you relate with the most this morning? And here's the follow-up. The wonderful part is God and His amazing love. God's amazing love does a lot. The first thing that it does is God is willing to explain. So for those who do not understand, God is willing to explain it. For those that don't get it, God is literally willing to sit down and have a conversation with you and explain it to you. Well, wait a minute, you're saying God's going to sit down? Dude, yes, but God can use us, the church, the believers, to sit down with those who don't understand and try and walk them through it. Try and explain it to them. Show them the love of God. Show them who He is and what He's done. God is willing to explain to those that do not understand. The second thing that God is willing to pour more soil. So if you're not rooted, God's willing to pour more soil. Okay, that's an illustration for you. If you're not rooted in the Word, when those hard times come, and they're going to come, you're going to crumble. And God is willing to provide more opportunities, more chances for you and for I to be in the Word. It doesn't just have to be on a Sunday morning sitting in a pew, or on a Wednesday night sitting in a small group. Dude, this is a daily thing. Daily we die to ourselves. We pick up our cross and die to ourselves. Daily we need to be in the Word. Daily we need to reach out, be in communication with each other, praying for each other. If we're not rooted in the Word, when times get tough, we're going to crumble. God is willing and able to provide opportunities. So the verse, if you go back to it, says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And if you look at the way Jesus explains it in verse 20, he says, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Dude, that doesn't just have to be at some great revival or at some wonderful Sunday morning service. That can be a daily thing. Daily, God can speak to you through His Word, through prayer, through worship music, through Bible studies, and create that sense of joy and excitement to where you are on fire and you have become the Jesus freak. And you are the tomato plant that is just booming with tomatoes that everyone is able to enjoy, that looks good in pictures, unlike mine. God is willing to pour more soil. Third thing that God is willing to do is to prune the weeds away. That's a terrible job. Let me tell you, I got home and had to pull those weeds and do 6 days of back work, and it was hot. That's a terrible job. And if you've ever had a garden, you know what I'm talking about. That's terrible. Quite frankly, it stinks. And so when we say God is willing to prune the weeds away, this is God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created you in His image. You are His masterpiece. He is the beginning and the end. He's willing to do that job that stinks and pull away and separate the weeds so that that fruit tree that's growing is able to grow and produce fruit. What are you saying, Daniel? Thank you. God is willing to take your worries and your concerns and the burdens that you have on Himself so that you can focus on what He's called you here to do. And that is to share the good news with the Word and to go and preach the gospel. God is willing and He is able to take that thing that has burdened you for so long so that you can focus, so that you can produce the fruit. So that you don't have to sit at home and worry about how your kids are growing up. You don't have to worry about that car payment. You don't have to worry about those sins that are in your past that you think disqualify you, which don't. He'll take them so that you can be the man or woman He's called you to be. Finally, most importantly, God loves you unconditionally. No conditions. Loves you for you. Whether you don't understand it, whether you are sitting here and as it's getting, times are getting hard and life is hard, you're about to crumble, whether the worries of this world consume you so much that your relationship with the Lord has started to decrease, or whether you understand it, you got it, you're on fire for the Lord. God loves you unconditionally. There's nothing you can do or say that'll make Him stop loving you. So we go back to the first question. What kind of person are you? If you could be honest with yourself this morning, what kind of person are you? What kind of seed? And it's not the seed, because the seed is good. It's where it's being thrown. What kind of person are you? Is God the center of everything? Do you understand that God loves you unconditionally? This morning, if you're here and you don't know how you wandered into this church, it was the first time, and you know, we had some really nice grass or really nice cars, and you just wandered in. And you're sitting here, and you still don't know why you're here. You don't understand the gospel. Maybe you've been sitting in this church for years, and you don't understand the gospel. God is willing to sit down with you and explain it to you. Maybe you're sitting here, and you're just not rooted. You know, you're going Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. You are literally spiritually surviving on the word that God delivers through whoever stands behind this pulpit. And through the week, you're just draining, just hoping to get to the next Sunday. God is willing and able to pour more soil, to provide more opportunities for you to get excited and pumped for what He's doing in this area and in your life. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and the worries of this world consume you. God is willing and able to prune those worries away, to take them on His own shoulders
so that you can focus on what God's calling you to do. And so maybe you're in this room and you got it. You really get it. You get it. He's the center of everything you do. You know that He loves you unconditionally. Good. You're the people God's talking to right now. You're the people that God is laying names on your minds and faces on your minds of people that you need to reach out to. People that need you to be the person who explains it to them. People who need you to be the people who create small groups and Bible studies and activities where others can come and stay fired up for what God's doing. You are the ones that God wants to use to help people in this building that are suffering, but also people that are outside these walls. But the question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? As we close this morning, we close with a song that says, "You are my all in all," right? One of my favorite songs, probably because it was a really easy song on the bass, and I could play it, but "You are my strength when I am weak." Right, one? Because there's several. Okay. "You are my strength when I am weak. You are the shelter that I seek. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am..." You know it. Awesome. So sing loudly. "When I am dry, you fill my cup. When I'm being strangled, you pull the weeds away. When I'm being scorched, you provide more soil." Here's my challenge to you. As we sing that song, think about the words. Think about them. Don't just sing them because they're on the screen, but think about those words. Evaluate where you're at spiritually. Man, if you need someone to pray with you, if you just need someone to answer some questions, if you need some sort of connection to this church or to the body, please don't leave those doors without seeking it. If you need to come down and just talk to God, please do. If you got it, you get it real good, you're on fire for the Lord. Okay, be ready to move as God tells you. Because this might be the opportunity for you to be able to say today, for that second question of that second point, when was the last time you shared God's word? Today might be your opportunity to just lay a hand on someone. I had an opportunity once, and I'll close with this, at a freaking Winter Jam concert, of all places, which everyone should know Jesus at Winter Jam, but they don't. Had an opportunity where there was a person in front of me, not in our group, who just started crying, which was a distraction to me. And so I just said, "God, will you shut him up, please? I'm trying to, let me be real with you, please. I'm trying to." And I really felt like the Lord said, how about you just lay a hand on him and pray for him right where you're at? And one of the rare occasions where I didn't go, "Well, that's weird," or I stretched my arm out and I prayed quietly over this person. Didn't think anything of it. Concert went on. We were done. When it ended, the person looked back at me and let me know that they were crying because they felt alone. And they said, "God, if you're real, I want you to have someone show me that you're real. So pray for me. Lay a hand on me. Talk to me. Tell me that I'm loved." And it was at that moment, sir, that you laid your hand on me. And so I don't know what you were doing. I don't know if you were falling over, but I just want you to know that God used you this evening. And I was like, "Wow, awesome, cool, thank you. I got to get with all these kids." God might be tugging on your heart this morning. And maybe the person's not here this morning. Maybe you need to leave these doors and make a phone call and just say, "Hey, I missed you this morning. And I want you to know that God loves you unconditionally." Maybe the person is here and you just need to get up and pray with them, pray over them. I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you to be open to that. Because we go back to that same first question. What kind of person are you?